pressure and you can't get away from it. Now this was happening right there. Therefore, I tell you, and now this is getting down to a thing right here, I want you to see. Therefore, I tell you, who? You Jews, you Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, the ones that were actually responsible for the way the people went. Every sin and blasphemy that is ever against the Holy Spirit shall not and cannot be forgiven. Now that's the reason for the age-long rejection of Christ by the Jews as a race. And even now, there's a veil over their face. I've been listening to this Jew out of San Antonio. He's been speaking on the events in the Battle of Armageddon, and I'd like to have it. I'd like to look at it, study it for myself. Very, very interesting, so on. But he brings it out that actually Jesus first appears to the Jews in Edom, where Antichrist has his forces right there ready to wipe them out. But, and Bozrah is in that area, and there's a scripture that says something about he that comes with from Bozrah with his garments stained with blood. And it does look like, for that remnant of the Jews, that Christ does appear there and take care of the situation. And then the remnant of the Jews return to Jerusalem, praying for the Messiah to come and repenting of their sins of having rejected him. And I believe he said, now, that's the reason I'd love to look at it if it was in print so I could study it closely, because I don't know where he's writing up. But anyhow, he says the third day after their 2 days of repenting and praying for his coming, he steps on the Mount of Olives. Well, whether his concept of the various events of Armageddon are right, I don't know, but I'd like to look at it. But that's when this sin, national sin of Israel, will be forgiven. Now, this is the unpardonable national sin. Now, it is true that when the individual, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and mind you, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is the only person that can work upon him and bring him to Jesus, except my Father which sent me draw him. And it's through the Holy Spirit. And whenever a person blaspheme that Holy Spirit, and on men, I think, have done it. They've said, Holy Spirit, get away. I don't want you. And they say they become hardened and you couldn't touch them anyway after that. Now, that's where the individual unpardonable sin comes in, don't you say? But now, right here, this is a Jewish situation primarily. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, but whosoever speaks against the Spirit, the Holy One, will not be forgiven, either in this world and age, or in the world and age to come. Now then, that Jesus actually came in the law age, didn't he? And the law was, I know there was a conflict between the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, but there's the violent reaction going on. But actually, the law ended when he nailed it to his cross. So you see, there was the law age, and he ended it. So, in that age, or what remained of it, it wouldn't be forgiven, nor in the age or the church age. It would not be forgiven then. All right, as a nation. Now get it, as a nation. That's true. Now, 33, look at his argument here. Either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad, for the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. I was talking to a friend recently, very close friend, and we were talking about some things that's bothering our situation, but he says, how are you going to prove it? By their fruits you shall know them. This individual just said, well, if something looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and stays in the water like a duck, you know it's a duck. All right. There's how you can prove some things. But, oh, somebody said, but you've got to get right down to what did he say, or something like that. There is an old saying, and it's true, that what you do speaks so much louder than what you say that I can hear what you're saying. All right, now that's how we can know. Now, listen what he calls them. Ye, you offspring of vipers, snakes, demoniac people. How can you speak good things when you're evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, that is the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, their words told you what the hearts were. Why? Because of the nature that was there. The fruit it produced. All right. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idol that is inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Why? Because these words are the fruits of their hearts. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, Teacher, now look how they turn again. We would desire to see a sign or miracle from you, proving that you are what you claim to be. Now listen, he'd been doing that all the time, and he had just cast this demon out of this dumb man. And there it was, but yet they wouldn't accept that. We won't see it. Now notice to him. But he replied to them, an evil and adulterous generation. That is a generation morally unfaithful to God. Seeks and demands a sign. But no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. His death 3 days in the grave, and then his resurrection. That would be a sign, and the only sign now that was going to be given to them. Now notice what he begins to do, and he makes a comparison now. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, someone more and greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. The old queen of Sheba, I believe, was what we commonly call her, isn't it? She had heard something about that, and she said, well, I'm going to go see. I'm going to go find out. And she said, behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. So if they had been as wise even as the Ninevites and as the Queen of Sheba was, they would have gone and looked into this. But all that they did was to find out everything they could to condemn it and stand against it. And now I'm going to jump ahead. This is one reason that he began later to speak in parables. Because they sinned against the degree of light they had, even that degree of light that they had was taken away from them. And then, in speaking in parables, which if you have an ear to hear, if you have a spiritual ear, you can understand what this parable means. But if you don't have that spirit, then it's just a story. You don't get the meaning of it.
You know, when he told about Sheba and the Ninevites, don't you know that they were cut in the heart because those were Gentiles?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Said, you Jews, supposed to be God's chosen people, which they were, won't even accept me, and the Ninevites accepted God's word and his truth. And the Queen of Sheba, a Gentile.
Listen, that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, when Christ took the little vacation and so on, and he told her, now, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And she says, yes, Lord, I know, but the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall around from the master's table. That old Gentile woman had more faith than the nation of Israel.
Amen.
And he commended her for that. And he healed her daughter. She did get the crumbs from it. And sometimes when I pray, I feel so deeply unworthy. I said, Lord, just let me have the crumbs. He'll not deny you. But now there's where faith came, you see. And she believed that, even though I don't know how she knew he was able to do such as that, because certainly, well, it just must have been that somehow or other word of this man had come to her, and she perceived, why, this is that son of David that comes, that has the answer to all the problems of the world and sets things right in the millennium and so on to the degree that he does. And so I made this statement. I heard it this morning. There is absolutely no hope for mankind other than the coming of Jesus Christ. And as I was talking to Brother McClung yesterday, if time goes on, I forget how long it is, but it's not too long that the majority of the American people are going to be senior citizens. And And he said, the young people illegitimately born. I hadn't thought of that. But he's right. So now, that lets us know that whatever time we have left till Jesus takes us out to get the job done, let's do all we can for the young people and so on, but let's don't forget these old saints, elderly people and so on, that who have paid the price to make things as good for us as we have today. And that's the thing that grips me today, is the way our churches are letting down our old people. I absolutely believe that we build a nursery. Let's build a room where elderly people who have to have care could come, and there'd be a room for them with all the necessities that they need fixed up right there so that they can come to church. If we have to buy an ambulance to bring them. But no, we just want those who can blow and go and give. And we measure our progress by that. Think on these things, brethren.
I missed out in this morning. Verse 22, Holman, that says that he healed, and the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? Were they speaking regarding the Messiah's son?
Right, exactly.
This was a regular, ordinary Jewish people, not the leaders?
Not necessarily the leaders, but the people at large, the common people, begin to question. And that seemed...